So schools are closed for at least a few more weeks, and many parents are either laid off or working from home because of the virus outbreak. So parents who never thought of keeping their kids home for their educations are facing that prospect, at least in the short term. For parents who already homeschooled their children, the change is a lot less wrenching, if there's any change at all. And organizations exist to help parents keep up with trends and standards. California has the California Homeschool Network. Oregon has the Oregon Home Education Network, where Rosalind Newhouse is the board president. And I'm sorry, is it Rosalind or Rosalind?
Either one is fine. I say Rosalind.
Rosalind. Okay. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
So not everything goes on at home. I was interested to notice when I went to the OHEN website that you had plans for a prom, but of course that had to be canceled because it was planned for April.
Well, we're hoping to put it on later in the year, but it's anybody's guess how things are going to turn out.
Indeed. So let's start with the prom and other events. I mean, how much do people within the Oregon Home Education Network get to see each other in person in normal circumstances?
Really an awful lot. One of the misconceptions about homeschooling is that it happens at home. A lot of homeschoolers ask each other, where's the home part? This current situation really is disrupting to people who are already homeschooling as it is to school children, because there are events and get-togethers and co-ops and playdates and activities and classes and field trips that homeschoolers are used to participating in. And suddenly everyone is at home and in home and not able to get out and participate in group activities or classes or the kinds of things that homeschoolers are used to.
All right, so they do get out and about a fair amount, but not now, obviously.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And are you getting, Rosalind, a fair amount of contact from people who have not homeschooled before, wanting information?
Definitely. We have a Facebook forum called Homeschooling in Oregon, and we have had dozens and dozens of people every day logging in who are suddenly homeschooling, or we call them school-at-homers.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who are, you know, their kids are at home all day instead of at school, and they're really not sure what to do about it, and they're looking to the homeschool community for help and advice on how do you interact with the kids and keep them learning and keep things interesting for them. Especially, this is really hard on the kids too. They're not used to staying inside all the time and not being able to interact in person with their friends. So it's a challenge for everyone.
What are some of the first bits of advice then for people who are just getting into this situation for the first time and having to deal with it? I know I've got friends who are locked up with their kids in other states who've been showing pictures of their various liquor bottles on Facebook to show what is driving them to just in the first few hours.
Well, one of the first things that we tell people and over again we tell people, and one of the most important messages that we can give them is to just relax. They don't have to be thrown immediately into a 6-hour a day school at home learning situation. Some parents are afraid that their kids will fall behind or lose their educational momentum. And the fact is that everybody's in the same boat. They're not going to be, it's not like they're out with an individual situation and the rest of the class is galloping ahead while they stay home. Everyone's at home and we're all experiencing the same thing. And so, you know, all the kids are pretty much in the same, experiencing the same thing. They're not going to fall behind the rest of their class. The other thing that we tell people, and this is exceptionally important, is that, you know, parents have their anxieties and their worries and they're dealing with a lot of change. And sometimes we forget that the kids are also dealing with the same kinds of change and worry and upset, and they don't necessarily have the same facility to cope as the adults do. I mean, if you're 8 or 9 years old and all of a sudden the entire world is locked up in their houses and they can't go out and there's a huge disease and is everybody going to die? You know, you start taking the child's viewpoint and understand the reassurance and stability and connection is a lot more important than arithmetic right now. So
address the kids' anxieties first and then deal with the education secondarily.
Absolutely. And this is a really good time to maybe take a few days and just be a family together. One thing that's interesting is it's right around spring break period. So it's not, you know, just, it's an early spring break or maybe and an extended spring break. So it's not an unusual time of year for people to be at home with their families. It's certainly a different situation. But we do really encourage families to take some time to connect, to talk about what's going on with each other, to reassure each other, maybe do some research and find out, you know, things are not quite as scary as they might seem sometimes. It's not, certainly not anything to laugh at or slough off as insignificant, but it's not maybe as scary as some people might think it is.
Right. It's not the end of the world, especially if we stay apart from each other long enough to keep from spreading the disease.
Exactly.
Rosalind Newhouse, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the board president of the Oregon Home Education Network, which provides homeschooling resources to parents who are homeschooling their children, and obviously getting a lot more information or getting a lot more requests for information at the moment because of all the people staying home because of the concerns about the COVID-19 outbreak. Questions, comments from you are welcome on the Jefferson Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. For the people who have been doing this for a long time, I mean, let's start there. What are the usual reasons that somebody will choose to homeschool a child outside of the current situation?
It's really kind of all over the map. Some people feel that they can provide a more extensive or more in-depth curriculum at home. For some parents, their kids are just not learning well in a group environment and need more one-on-one instruction. Some people have ideological differences from what's being taught in a regular public school and want something either more, different philosophical bent or something. It used to be the case that a large proportion of homeschooling was done for religious reasons. That's not so much the case anymore, although it's still certainly a factor. There are, it's a lower percentage than it used to be. And some people just feel like, they want to connect with their kids more and be more part of the kids' education than would be accessible in a school situation.
What requirements exist then for people who do want to go full-time homeschool? I imagine you still have to meet some standards of the state of Oregon in the case of the Oregon Home Education Network people.
Sure. Oregon has a pretty open homeschooling requirement. Some different states have different requirements. Some require oversight by a certified teacher. Some require a certain amount of curriculum hours or days. Some require a certain kind of reporting. In Oregon, the requirement is that you register as a homeschooler with your education service district, and then at the end, you provide standardized testing for the homeschooled child at the ends of grade 3, 5, 8, and 10 to ensure that they're learning something. And beyond that, you're free to choose a curriculum, choose a method, choose a schedule. It's very open-ended. And so it allows a lot of freedom for the parents to choose an educational model that's going to work for that particular child.
When it comes to the standardized testing, does the state get a look at those numbers and come back and say there, you seem to be deficient in some areas here? I mean, is there any corrective stuff along the way?
Sure. The standardized tests are done. There's a number of testers and testing agencies that a family can go to and get the tests done. When the Education Service District may ask to see the test scores, that it doesn't happen in every case. Some ESDs ask every family, some ESDs kind of do a random sampling, but you would then submit those test scores to the ESD, and they're based on a percentile, which is not quite the same as a percent. It shows how a child is doing relative to other kids taking the same test. If the student scores below a certain percentile, then the requirement is that they take the test again the following year to see if there's some improvement being made. So a child doesn't have to measure up to a certain benchmark, but they do have to be showing some progress and improvement over time, that they're actually receiving some education. And then if in the second year no improvement is shown, then there are some measures to monitor more closely and determine whether the parent needs some help, whether some special services are necessary, or whether it might be advantageous for the kid to be back in a school setting.
We are talking with Rosalind Newhouse here on the Jefferson Exchange, the board president of the Oregon Home Education Network, which is getting a lot more inquiries these days because of people who are at home with the kids because schools are not in session. You're welcome to join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. I begin with the assumption that you homeschooled your own kids, Rosalind. Is that true?
I did. I have two kids. They're both adults now. I homeschooled them in different ways and really grateful for the opportunity to do so. I'm very happy with our experience and was fortunate in that I live in the Southwest Portland area, and there's a lot of homeschoolers in this area, and I was fortunate to be able to hook up with a lot of other families, learn a lot myself about education, about how kids learn, provide a really rich and welcoming community for my kids, and take part in a lot of activities, extracurricular classes, field trips, that sort of thing.
You mentioned that it was different for each of your two kids, though, which comes to a question that I was forming anyway about whether you let the situation help dictate what you're going to do. I mean, like whether there's a specific place that you regard as like your home classroom or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean my older child, I started homeschooling quite a long time ago, when there were not a lot of homeschoolers in Oregon, and it was more difficult to find resources. I really kind of had to invent the wheel as I went along. So that was a real challenge. When I was homeschooling my younger child, there were thousands of homeschoolers in the Portland area, and a lot of resources. And there was the internet, and where one of the wonderful resources available to homeschoolers is the internet. There are so many things that you can do online. Even today, the internet is just a wonderful thing for homeschoolers and public schoolers who are quarantined right now or in isolation, because they can connect up with their friends on virtual chats. There are people organizing group conferences through applications like Zoom, so that kids can participate in activities and classes together. There are ways for people to connect with each other without having to do it face-to-face. So this technology is a wonderful thing for us all.
Yeah, it seems like America has learned Zoom in a big way the last couple of weeks.
That's for sure. And there are a lot of people providing free online classes. There are YouTube videos and Facebook Live and Zoom conferences for art lessons and literature seminars and even exercise programs.
Exercise. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, in fact, I witnessed a friend of mine giving a tap dance class the other night on Zoom.
So.
All kinds of stuff going on. So let's come back to the original recommendations then for people who are thinking, I got my kids at home. I don't know what to do. And your first point is to relax.
That's right. We even for people who in normal circumstances where we have kids, you know, parents who are deciding, well, it's time for me to homeschool now. There's a process that we call de-schooling. It's a sort of a transition period, and we really recommend that the first thing a family does when they decide to transition from public school or private school to a homeschool setting is to just don't do anything. Just take a break, step back, take a look at, you know, get to know your child, get to know how they learn, get to know their rhythms, and find out, work together, what does the child want to learn? What is the child interested in? How does the child learn? What kind of schedule works best for the kid?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that when you're working directly with a child on something, they don't really need to be 6 hours a day sitting at a table doing desk work. They're not doing that in school anyway.
Right. Okay. So lots of stuff available at the website. It's ohen.org for the Oregon Home Education Network. Rosalind Newhouse, thank you so much.
You're welcome.